You're listening to Civic from the San Francisco Public Press. On this episode, we're examining the potential longevity of the nonprofit SF New Deal, which was born in the pandemic to help both restaurant workers and those facing food insecurity in the city.
Our first week in operation, we delivered 1,000 meals. The second week, we scaled to 18,000 meals. And within the course of about 2 weeks, we had over 50,000 meals on our wait list from individuals who were in need of food support. To give you a sense of kind of what these dollars have looked like, we're approaching about $20 million distributed to 178 small businesses in San Francisco. $17 million of those dollars have come through city, state, and federally funded contracts.
I'm Sonia Paul, in for Laura Wenis, and this is Civic. In the wake of the pandemic, as cities instituted shelter-in-place orders and restaurant employers were forced to lay off their workers, a solution popped up in San Francisco that hoped to address both the looming doom of small businesses and the soaring food insecurity among vulnerable communities. A new nonprofit called the SF New Deal. It was funded with seed money from the founder of Twitch and currently supports 184 small business restaurants. It serves as a mediator between these restaurants and community organizations that distribute food to vulnerable populations in the city. Today, we're going to examine to what extent the SF New Deal can be part of a sustainable business model for restaurants, and everyone tries to figure out what life will be like in a post-vaccinated world. Jacob Beinman is the Director of Operations and co-founder of the SF New Deal. His fellow co-founder is Lenore Estrada, CEO of the pie baking business Three Babes Bake Shop. In his role, Beinman spends most of his time focusing on the restaurant client experience and the logistics of trying to move 50,000 meals a week throughout the city.
SF New Deal is a new nonprofit that launched in March 2020. And our mission is to provide supportive services and financial opportunities to small businesses in San Francisco. We're working to address kind of both the symptoms and root causes of food insecurity and the challenges that are faced by small businesses by building pathways which connect individuals, community leaders, neighbors in need, restaurant operators, really for the benefit of our entire city. And we do this kind of across our four community feeding programs that we operate.
When you say that you're addressing like the root causes of food insecurity, it should also just be made obvious that it was also born out of the insecurity that the pandemic brought with the restaurant industry, right? And so you also have your experience with the pie shop. And so what did actually trying to serve those needs look like at the beginning of the pandemic? If we could just go back to about a year ago this time.
Yeah, definitely. So mid-March of 2020, Lenore and I started having a number of conversations with people that were thinking about food insecurity and feeding in San Francisco. And certainly we're an organization that is born from a reactive state of the pandemic. And one of the things that was abundantly clear, even with a lot of uncertainty in March 2020, is that existing systems of food support in San Francisco were already pushed well beyond capacity going into the pandemic. There wasn't kind of this breathing room of saying, we know that there's going to be newly food insecure individuals, and we're just going to slot them into these programs. Existing service providers really push beyond capacity. And one of the things that was really foundational for us on the front end was partnering with individuals and community organizations that have been working to address food insecurity for decades in San Francisco. Certainly, there's a large number of individuals estimated to be about a third of all recipients of food support during the pandemic who are newly food insecure, and the pandemic has represented the first time that they've accessed a community or government-funded feeding program. But for the majority of individuals that we're serving, and especially those who have been hardest hit, there's a long history of food insecurity and a lack of resources from the city and a whole host of kind of vital areas. And so back in March of 2020, we were spending a lot of time trying to understand who are the individuals that can help us understand where the need is in the community and how can we work as quickly and efficiently as possible to meet that need. And I'd say as an example of a couple of these individuals, we partnered very early on with the San Francisco African-American Faith-Based Coalition and with UCSF's Citywide Case Management, both organizations that have for decades been providing meals for food insecure San Franciscans who have often come with a lack of resources kind of in other vital areas, meaning that they're providing meal support for individuals who are also housing insecure, who might not be employed, who are between jobs or kind of dealing with a whole host of mental health or physical health related challenges, and acknowledging that by virtue of kind of what providing meals means, it's an incredibly intersectional topic, meaning that when we're giving meals to someone, you're really engaging kind of a host of supportive services that are needed. And for us, what enabled us to scale so rapidly on the front end was really a combination of having these private dollars of our initial kind of funding to move quickly, but also working with individuals who had trust and who had understanding of where the need was in the community. Our first week in operation, we delivered 1,000 meals. The second week, we scaled to 18,000 meals. And within the course of about 2 weeks, we had over 50,000 meals on our wait list from individuals who were in need of food support. Certainly both on the small business side and on the community feeding side, there's been an overwhelming amount of need for our programs. And I think as an organization, really when we hit our 6 month mark, we were at this moment, at 6 months, we had delivered 1 million meals in San Francisco. And what was overwhelmingly apparent to everyone on our team is that we probably could have delivered 10 million meals. Certainly finding a home for 1 million meals in San Francisco was not a logistical challenge. There were many challenges associated with getting those meals moving around. And certainly there was a lot of learning in that for us. But in terms of identifying the individuals who are in need of support, there's really a tremendous need in San Francisco. Right.
Yeah, I also want to go back to something you touched on when you were just explaining that, which is funding. So initially you got seed funding, right, from a tech entrepreneur. I believe it was the founder of Twitch,
Emmett Shear.
Right. And so what does the funding structure look like now? Because part of the process of getting restaurants on board is that you're also paying restaurants to do this work, right? So can you talk a little bit about that?
Certainly, yeah. So Emmett was incredibly generous in pledging kind of this $1 million to the effort on the front end. And one of the things that was largely informed by Lenore's experience as being a small business operator and really thinking about what enables a small business to thrive in San Francisco is having stability and visibility into what the future looks like. For any small business operator, it's really impossible to make the challenging choices that you need to make if you're only given a 48-hour window to say, I need you to make X number of meals, or I need to be able to staff this type of event. Certainly our understanding from the get-go and our expectation is that SF New Deal alone is not enough to keep small businesses afloat. But what we have heard is that for the majority of the businesses participating, it is enough to close the gap. And for us, what's been really foundational is being incredibly transparent with our restaurant partners on the front end about what we are able to provide. So in March 2020, when we launched this program, that meant that for every small business we were onboarding into our program, we made a commitment of between $6,000 and $8,000 per week in weekly spend for a minimum of 12 weeks, meaning that when we're onboarding a restaurant into our program, we're really trying to give them kind of the ability to be proactive in thinking about how they're going to keep their small business afloat. What that also meant is that we're making kind of these big pledges very quickly to a number of restaurants. First week and a half, we had over 100 restaurants reach out to want to participate in the program. And it was just very obvious that the number of dollars that we were kind of talking about was well beyond what private dollars were able to cover. Certainly, I think the private dollars were incredibly useful in moving quickly. We had a conversation with Emmett about providing this funding on a Thursday, and the following Monday, we were delivering meals.
Wow.
And that's just something that, like, I think is impossible to do with government dollars by virtue of how they are tied and kind of the complexities in navigating. Even a number of the processes that the city expedited for community feeding did not yield kind of direct meal service through the city until May or kind of end of April. We did form fairly early on a partnership with the Human Rights Commission. The Human Rights Commission, it's like a branch of the government. So the Office of Racial Equity and the Human Rights Commission has done a really incredible amount of work to support the Black community and support a number of communities in San Francisco that have long been under-resourced. And before the city of San Francisco made contracts available, which I'm happy to speak a little bit more about, Human Rights Commission used a number of kind of discretionary dollars to provide meals to residents living in public housing and through community sites across the city of San Francisco. So certainly we were able to partner with them rather quickly, but the private dollars are what enabled us to make these commitments very quickly to the small businesses. As we were working on kind of dispersing these dollars, delivering these meals is really when we began to also in parallel start to pursue what larger funding opportunities could look like. And we applied to two contracts that the city of San Francisco had released, the first being a congregate feeding contract. So that's for anyone staying in a hotel run by the city of San Francisco, either because they've tested positive for COVID and they're in a mandated quarantine, or because they were previously unhoused and the city of San Francisco is providing them housing in an effort to minimize the spread of COVID-19. So that was one contract. And the second contract is for the Great Place Program, which is a federally and state-funded program in which seniors who meet a number of eligibility criteria are able to receive 3 meals a day delivered directly to their home. And most often, these types of community feeding program contracts are really oriented around kind of a Cisco or an Aramark or some kind of mega corporation, but doesn't distribute those dollars in the immediate community. And we apply to these contracts using the collective power of the restaurants that we were working with, meaning we're applying with the intent to subcontract to 40, 50, or 60 individual restaurants to be able to fulfill those needs. We were successful in receiving both of those contracts and began service through both of those in May. And so between May and the end of the year until kind of December, we were running these three programs in parallel. To give you a sense of kind of what these dollars have looked like, we're approaching about $20 million distributed to 178 small businesses in San Francisco. $17 million of those dollars have come through city, state, and federally funded contracts. So certainly the $3 million that have come through private grants and individual contributions is incredibly valuable. But certainly the need is far greater than I think kind of individual philanthropy can meet.
So the SF New Deal essentially operates as a kind of mediator, right? Like initially it was between restaurants and these community-based organizations that have been established for decades, for years, that are serving those who are facing food insecurity. That's one channel of mediation. Then this other mediation with the Human Rights Commission that, you know, also targets certain populations that have been marginalized and helps funnel food that way. And then now with the city government of San Francisco, they have these contracts for programs they would do themselves regardless, but there needs to be like an organization or somebody to still be a mediator. And as you mentioned, that used to be like a mega corporation back in the day, but now the SF New Deal is able to sort of step in and be a mediator in that sense as well.
Yeah, I mean, I might actually go so far to say that when you give a contract to a Cisco, you're not serving as a mediator because there's actually no interest in the community with regards to supporting small businesses. And one of the things that we talk about really often is, in addition to being a mediator, really being a facilitator and enabling our clients, our small businesses, our community-based organizations, and the city of San Francisco to form a partnership. I think it's worth flagging that none of the restaurants participating in our program have participated in a mass feeding program before. Almost all of them have had a terrible experience with the city of San Francisco, either through the zoning office or the planning office or the health department, or there's just like so much tension in being a small business operator in dealing with the city that a big challenge on the front end was having the trust from the small businesses to say, we are going to work with the city and you are not going to get screwed over in this relationship.
So this is also quite interesting because, as you mentioned, like 17 million out of 20 million that is supporting this program is now coming from the government. And so, like, if it has been so difficult for small businesses in the past to negotiate working with the city, what has the SF New Deal been able to do to actually make working with the city work?
The first fixture of that is just understanding what it takes to get one of these contracts. So to apply to a contract from the city of San Francisco, there's an RFP or an RFQ process that stands for Request for Proposals or Request for Qualifications, in which the city of San Francisco is saying, prove to me that you're able to do the thing that we are asking you to do. That document itself typically is it like a 50 or 100 page document in which you're outlining every number that has ever existed about your business. You're writing these proposals. You're writing these proposals in a really hypothetical way. It's like the proposal that we wrote said, would you be able to deliver between 2 and 10,000 meals within a 1 week basis? Meaning like, could I give you 2 meals or could I drop off 10,000 meals? Am I equally equipped to do those things? And for a small business operator, one, these are just incredibly challenging documents to like understand how to navigate. And two, by virtue of what it means to be a small business operator, you probably don't have a bunch of time to like be doing research and engaging in these processes and understanding like how to even go about navigating this process. And so I'd say the first thing that we did is that SF New Deal applies on behalf of these restaurants. So we are the individuals who are writing these grants and proposals, and kind of as part of our proposal saying, you know, the model is that we're going to be subcontracting with 50 restaurants, for example, and therefore this is the economic impact that we think that this program could have. But really what's made it accessible on the front end is just having someone who can go to bat and to write these proposals on behalf of the restaurants. On an ongoing basis, though, I think that's really where a number of the supportive services that we provide are really pivotal. And as an example of one, by virtue of serving 50,000 meals a week, there's an incredible amount of feedback that we aggregate and collect from individuals who love their meal, who don't love their meal, who would like less rice than they got last week, and that needs to be recorded somewhere. And so SF New Deal operates a call center that we launched when we received these two contracts. We will take the admin portion of what this contract is asking you to do, and we'll allow you as a small business to really focus on what you're successful at.
I'm speaking with Jacob Byman, co-founder and director of operations at the SF New Deal. These contracts are for programs that would have existed with or without a pandemic, or are they born out of the pandemic to address those needs?
Yeah, so the two contracts that we currently operate are emergency feeding contracts. And so community feeding is a concept that has existed before COVID and will continue to exist into the future. Specifically, the congregate feeding contract and the Great Plates program are two COVID relief related feeding efforts.
Right. I've talked to a number of restaurants, many of whom are involved with the SF New Deal. And it seems that the program has been like such a huge lifeline. But as you also mentioned, like, you can't solve everything. You're helping to close the gap, right? And so I'm wondering, what is your sense of this being a long-term solution for the restaurant industry and the workers in the restaurant industry to survive, as opposed to a long-term vision to address food insecurity?
Community feeding is not a COVID exclusive related concept. And there are a number of contracts the city has available to do community feeding for seniors and for families. There's one that was released last week that's community feeding through 2025. And so certainly it will continue to be around for quite a while. I think there also needs to be a shift in how we understand kind of the purpose of community feeding. Community feeding, in the way that it's mostly played out during the pandemic, has been incredibly symptomatic, meaning we're giving people meals because they need meals to eat today. And I think that's incredibly important. And there are a number of places in which community feeding is, you know, already a part of our day-to-day, right? Like schools, giant contract that, you know, SFUSD has to feed their students. You could imagine being subcontracted to hundreds of restaurants around San Francisco who might be able to, you know, provide the support and be able to meet the need and have that financial benefit. And I think a lot of these challenges really come down to understanding what the costs are of doing operation in San Francisco. In many places, including in San Francisco, community feeding is often done at the price point of about $1.20 per meal. Truly, there's no way to sustainably operate in that model, both because you're creating a product that people don't want to engage with, like the meals are pretty terrible, and because it's incredibly dehumanizing to be able to receive a meal like that, in which it is very evident that, you know, care has not been put into that meal in the way that it would, you know, as if you were receiving it from someone in your community. And also because you can't be a small business operator and be distributing meals in San Francisco for $1.20. It's truly not possible. And so a lot of our root cause work is also focused around advocacy and helping those at the city in charge of making these decisions, structuring these contracts, to understand what it costs to do business in San Francisco and what it costs to do business sustainably. We compensate our restaurants at around $10 per meal, which is far higher than what kind of other community feeding programs are doing. And it's really a break even for most of our participating restaurants.
Yeah, no, just speaking about how much these restaurants need, I guess what I'm trying to really get at is what can get them over the edge in terms of actually being secure enough to make this model actually a part of the restaurant industry business model.
One of the things that, you know, we try to be really explicit about is that success for us is not like getting every restaurant in San Francisco to be a part of this contract. Certainly, I think one thing that's often overlooked is the extent to which the needs in the Bayview of San Francisco are very different than the needs in the Richmond District, are very different than the needs in the Tenderloin. And we really foundationally believe that localized solutions are best equipped to solve local challenges. Community feeding that works in one neighborhood is not necessarily the model that is best equipped to kind of serve small businesses and neighbors in need across the city of San Francisco. And for that reason, our approach is really oriented around saying, how can we work with individual communities to understand what small business support looks like in that given area and how we can create a sustainable model around that? Your question was really kind of oriented around how do we create these sustainable resources? And really at their core, I think creating sustainable resources means addressing root causes. I don't think any other solution is sustainable in terms of actually providing long-term support for small businesses. I think saying, okay, we got a contract for 10 years of community feeding is great because it alleviates the burden of our team having to do some of this admin work, and therefore we have some stability in that regard. But truly the most sustainable solution is a future of San Francisco in which community feeding is not nearly as big of a problem as it currently is. And that means providing mental health resources. It means free healthcare for everyone who lives in San Francisco and making that affordable for small businesses to provide. It means addressing racial inequity that has kind of long existed in San Francisco. It means kind of all of these things that I think kind of have been happening, but haven't been happening in a really impactful enough way. I think some of the directions that we have spoken about are really understanding the power of UBI, Universal Basic Income, as a mechanism by which we can actually really support small businesses by giving spending power by those closest to harm. And certainly our goal is to figure out, as we continue to grow as an organization and as the needs of the city continue to shift, how can we continue to meet those needs? But really at the end of the day, it's a conversation around like what is the core problems of poverty and inequity in San Francisco, and how can the city work to address those?
I guess the bigger question that I keep coming back to is, what would it take for restaurants that are kind of really clinging in, you know, a high rent city in a pandemic year to cling on themselves?
Yeah, so we're in the process of, and kind of coming up on our 1 year, releasing an annual report where we surveyed all of our participating restaurants. And one of the questions that we asked them was really oriented around like, if things open back up tomorrow, how long would it take you to like get back to a place of being, you know, financially able to sustain your business? And, you know, we're working with about 200 restaurants in San Francisco, so there's certainly a range of answers, but it's many years for most of these small business operators. People are not going to be exiting the pandemic and kind of a light switch changes and all of a sudden they're good to go as a small business operator. And I don't want to kind of speak on behalf of small business operators in San Francisco and saying, if this one thing could happen, it'd be possible to do small business and be a small business operator. It's such an interconnected system that it's hard to break down and say, if we were able to provide this thing, but most often what it comes down to is small business operators saying, if we're able to focus on operating our business and not focusing on break-ins and crime and navigating incredibly complicated systems with the city, like we would actually be able to really focus on understanding whether or not our business is sustainable. And I think certainly providing revenue is an incredibly valuable tool to enable these small business operators to have some flexibility in that decision-making, right? Like if we're able to give a small business operator 3 months of $8,000 a week in dependable orders, and therefore they know what the next 3 months are going to work on, what they're able to focus on, it really gives them the ability to say, what are the choices I have to make to pivot my business to make it stay afloat? But it's an incredibly challenging business to be a small business operator in. And I think COVID has just really made clear the extent to which all of these resources, so yes, the revenue challenge, but also how high rent is, and also kind of covering healthcare costs, and also dealing with tremendous racial inequity, and also dealing with like poor transportation systems in San Francisco, like that whole web of resources is actually what makes it so hard to be a small business operator. Beyond kind of the direct services that we provide, one of the reasons that addressing root causes is so important to SF New Deal is that these things are so interconnected, right? Like providing revenue to small businesses, it's like that needs to happen. And also all of these other things need to happen. And certainly I hope that we'll be able to continue providing this revenue kind of through recovery and into the future, because I think it provides somewhat of a safety net for these small business operators. But we also really want to use the collective power of the small businesses that we're working with to demand new ways of operating and new ways of engaging with the city. Because if it was as easy as giving restaurants $4,000 a week in orders to help them sustain themselves, I think people would be willing to write those checks, and it's not that straightforward. There's really a whole host of services that are needed. And I think kind of one thing that I find inspiring is that like there's people that have the answers to these things. Small business operators who have been small business operators for 5 years can tell you what is needed and can tell you the challenges in their neighborhood. And I think as much as possible, our goal is to try to amplify those voices. For operators who are saying, you know, my chef is coming in every day at 7 a.m. and spends the first 2 hours of their day every single day cleaning up the street in front of our restaurant because bottles have been smashed and it's like a window has been broken. Like that is the fatigue that makes it impossible to be a small business operator. And there are things that the city can do, right? Like we have resources to allocate the street cleaning. And I think it's so often those types of kind of stories or narratives are put into this like, oh, this is super anecdotal and therefore like this person had a bad experience. We're dealing with 200 restaurants. There's a lot of continuity in what restaurants are saying with regards to how challenging it is to have to navigate all of the things that it takes to be a small business that are being put onto small business operators as opposed to being owned by the city of San Francisco.
Where would the policy shift then come for restaurants to stabilize enough to stay in the restaurant business and also, you know, provide these supportive meals?
There needs to be a complete redesign of how the planning office works in San Francisco. Because if you are a small business operator who are trying, like Lenore has been trying to open a brick and mortar for her bakery, for her to get plans approved is going to take another 6 months for a process that should be done in a day. And so streamlining that process for small businesses, I think, is incredibly important. Helping small businesses afford their healthcare costs for their staff, I think, is an incredibly important thing that the city can do from a policy standpoint. I think providing kind of rent control and rent support for small business operators is incredibly important and a policy thing that restaurant operators can do. I think providing educational resources for staff around their rights and support is an incredibly valuable thing to small businesses that the city of San Francisco can do. I think providing street cleaning and supportive services that address kind of visible homelessness and the challenges associated with that is an incredibly important thing that the city can do. I think the city in addressing homelessness directly and providing mental health resources for individuals, like all of these things are truly policy related and have direct policy that can be done. Our city government needs to do better. I think like there's definitely a lot of like voting power here and encouraging individuals to really be engaged in their local politics. This is the first community feeding program that I have run. This is the first community feeding program that Lenore has run. Within, I think, 6 weeks, we were like one of the top three meal providers in San Francisco by volume. Like, and that to me was pretty shocking that within such a short period of time, we were able to find and provide support to such a tremendous need. And I really think there's a lot of solutions and creativity in the community to fix the problems that we're seeing. And certainly I hope that, you know, city governance is able to step up and meet that need, but also would really encourage kind of individuals and communities that feel like they have the solution to, you know, make noise and find the support for that solution. Because I think so often we've just seen that the city can do a great job of following, but can struggle in leading. And truly, I think when the leadership comes from the community and comes from the challenges in the community, solutions are generated that really are sustainable and meet the root challenges.
That was Jacob Byman, co-founder and director of operations at the SF New Deal. I'll be back in the next and final episode of this three-part series to bring you a conversation with the president of One Fair Wage and co-founder of a similar food support program. We'll talk about what it takes for these programs to institute structural change within the restaurant industry as a whole. I'm Sonia Paul, and you've been listening to Civic.